Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. Happy Thursday, everyone. I hope you're having a lovely week. This episode, I'm actually really excited to release. I had the pleasure of interviewing the co-founder and CEO of Sequin, Vrinda Gupta. She is amazing. She was actually the project manager for the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And for those of you who are part of the financial independence community, this is a phenomenal credit card for travel hacking. And to just bring her on it was really cool to hear her story. I was very humbled in this episode, I will be honest. So I always knew that women in minority groups had disadvantages every which angle, but I never really realized there's just so much nuance, especially in the credit industry. And Vrinda and I dive into it. We talk a lot about the inequalities among credit cards, and we talk about things, everything you need to know about credit, how to improve your credit, how you get your credit to where you want it, and how to work around these disadvantages. So it was really fun. Brenda's amazing, and I'm so excited for her new company. She just launched a credit card, Sequin, to help women to learn how to use credit. Her credit card aims to close the gender gap, catering to young women especially. So I think she's just amazing. I'm excited to bring her on. And one last thing really quickly before we jump in, just wanted to remind you, if you haven't already done so, if you or anyone you know is looking to create some extra income, I have some great resources on my site. If you go to investormama.com/makemoney, you can find a ton of tools, tons of resources. If you're interested in learning how to start your own Etsy side hustle, which has amazing income potential, you could check out episode number 52 with Julie Berninger. She goes into a ton of detail with that. Or if you are interested in starting a Facebook side hustle course, you can check out episode number 30 with Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoy. Or if you're looking to pivot in your career and you want a job that you have a lot of flexibility, a lot of time freedom, but also want to make a good paycheck, you definitely want to go check out the Salesforce Challenge as well. It's amazing. And people who go through this challenge and go through the program are coming out of the gates making $60,000 plus a year in just a couple months. So definitely go check it out. Go to investormama.com/makemoney. And so now, without further ado, Vrinda, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Jen. Thank you for having me. And thank you for illuminating this really important topic. I'm so excited to chat all things credit.
Yeah. And it's such an important topic, especially for moms. And I'll be honest, I don't know that much about credit myself even. Fortunately, I've always was taught at a young age to make sure you always pay your credit cards on time and don't put something on a credit card if you really can't afford it. And so I always kind of had that mindset. So I don't know much about bad credit, but I know that it's such a taboo subject. And it's very debilitating for many, many women, especially moms out there. And so I would love to just start with your money story, because you also have an amazing money story before we even get into credit. So I would love for you to share how you literally built a business from scratch.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, thank you for sharing your story, Jen. And I think so much of what we learn or what we don't learn about credit is, you know, through our parents and through our family. And for me, it's kind of this position of privilege where if you did grow up with good money habits, and it sounds like you did, that's so amazing. But there's so many of us who either, you know, just didn't know. And I know I'm not fortunate to be a parent, but I know other parents really struggle with, they want to pass on good money habits to their kids, but maybe they themselves were never taught. And there's so much misinformation out there. So I think, you know, just leveling the playing field with, yes, products like Sequin, but also just talking about credit as a whole and how you actually can understand the system and set yourself up for success is something that's really important, isn't taught in schools, and is something that disproportionately impacts women, as banks are advertising disproportionately to women. And, you know, we even see getting into high school that little girls are less likely to have gotten a lesson on credit as compared to little boys at their age. So it's this gap that starts early that never really closes to no fault of our own. So thank you for sharing your personal story
I have to honestly give credit to my parents, my mom and dad, and my grandmother too, was like the first intro to money. But I remember my mom was always literally paying the bills, and back in the day before computers and stuff, had her checkbook out, and she'd always say, Jen, these are your checkbooks. Make sure that if you're going to write a check that you have the money to back it up and never use it to spend more. And yeah, my mom was an amazing woman. So
yeah, I was just going to say, your mom sounds incredible. And you know, it's something, this is a conversation I actually have with a lot of moms actually, where they say, you know, I want to set my, you know, especially daughters, but both of my kids up for success. What do I need to know about credit? So maybe we can get into some credit best practices later on. But
yeah, definitely. Of course. Yeah, I would love to. I would actually also love for you to share your story, because you're such an empowerment to so many women of what you've accomplished at such a young age and everything you've done. I think it's just so important for moms to hear what you've done in such a short time. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Jen. So yeah, so, you know, a bit of background, and actually I'll share this entire journey because I think the moms in this podcast will appreciate the shout out to my mom. So my mom and I and my whole family were first generation immigrants from India. And as we moved to the US, my mom was this powerhouse where she built, you know, us an entirely new life from the ground up. And to me, even today, she's fearless. And the one time that I saw my mom feel actively fearful was as it related to finances in the US, and especially as it related to credit. And her view on credit was that there are a lot of gotchas that could lead to something very hard to fix. Think getting into debt, compounding interest, getting a bad credit score. And so because of that, she was very fearful, and she left matters of credit up to my dad. And so that kind of played out in interesting ways growing up, where I really saw my mom kind of being leading most of, you know, our family, making a life in the US. But the one time she took a step back was when it came to finances. And, you know, I think ultimately I started to kind of associate understanding finances in the system with power. And so my first job after I graduated from undergrad was at Visa. And I was building popular credit cards there along with my team. And I built an amazing product called the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is—
That's like a huge credit card in the financial independence community for travel hacking.
Yes.
And you were on that.
Yes. Yeah. So my team and
oh my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a really cool project. And, you know, we worked closely with Chase. We kind of reimagined what a credit card could mean, where it could be very experiential. And the way that the Chase Sapphire Reserve works is, you know, it's very much about elevating that travel experience.
Yeah. That got us to Disney World this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, you're my hero. I didn't even realize that was the card you worked on. That's like the card I always promote, because it's a great way. You have so much flexibility and points to really travel with your family.
Yes, it is a great product. I thought so as well. And I applied for the Chase Sapphire Reserve when I was at work, and I got rejected.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? That is ridiculous. What? Wait, hold on. How? It's like ridiculous. Let me get this. So you built a card and then were rejected.
Yes, I was rejected actually when I was, you know, at work. I was in an open floor plan, so excited to apply, and I got rejected. And, you know, there's a suite of emotions I felt, of course, ranging from confusion to I was embarrassed. You know, there's a lot of shame associated with finances, which is something that I'm trying to unlearn, is something that we're really preaching at Sequin. But yeah, you know, it wasn't until that moment that I first started thinking about credit. And I realized that I had been putting most of my spend on a debit card. And I'd also been using my dad's credit card, which was building his credit and not mine. And so even though I had a high income working at Visa, the credit, the issuers and the decisioners who decide whether or not to give you a credit card don't take income into account. So even though I had a high income, I lacked credit history. And afterwards, I looked at Visa data because I was shocked. I mean, it was just, again, you know, I went through like the 7 stages of grief on that one.
I can imagine. Like, did your bosses find out? Like, what happened? Like, how did
that? No, I actually talked to my boss, who was the head of credit at Visa for, you know, nationwide products. And he was actually the one who told me that you probably lack credit history. And that was my first lesson on credit education that I'd gotten was from my boss at Visa, which, you know, is also a position of privilege of how many people have access to the head of credit at Visa.
I know, I was going to say, it's not like you're on the, like, you know, the little low on the totem pole, like you're high up in this company.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. There's one thing I would love for you to just go back and touch on is you said that the people who decided you weren't eligible, who decides if you're approved and not approved for a credit card?
Yeah. So in the industry, the jargon that we use is credit card issuers, which is basically, you know, think JP Morgan Chase, think Bank of America. Sequin is also a credit card issuer or a debit card that builds credit, which we'll talk about, but we're a card issuer as well. So those entities are the ones that are making the decisions. And then if you think of the networks, you know, a lot of people say my Visa card, my MasterCard. When you think about the networks, they're actually kind of the operating system that makes the money move in the background. Okay. But the ones who are actually making the decisions on, okay, should we actually extend you credit, extend you these products? Those are the credit card issuers. And that's probably the brand that you know and who you call when you have a question about your card product.
And who is working with Visa? Who was the issuer for you guys at the time?
So with the Chase Sapphire Reserve, it's Chase is the issuer.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Silly question. Okay.
No, it's good. I mean, these are the type of questions that, again, we all think are silly, but who's supposed to teach you?
That's like, true.
Where are you supposed to learn? So
yeah.
I don't find any questions about the financial services industry silly. You are not the reason you don't know this. The industry is the reason you don't know this. So
I have another question then.
Yes, what is all your questions.
The difference of the credit bureaus themselves that actually do the background stuff like the Equifax and the Experian and all those companies?
Yes.
What's their role in all that?
This is a really good question. So essentially, every time you go out to seek credit, so that could be you apply for a credit card. It could be you go to get a car loan. You go to get an apartment. Anytime they do a credit check, and then once you've actually been extended credit, how you're using credit, all of that information gets collected by these entities called the credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. And the names that we all know are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the three main ones. And essentially, they come together to aggregate all of your data. And then when an issuer, let's say Chase, for example, or Bank of America, if they're going to apply for a product, they pull the information from the credit bureaus, and they also have their own secret sauce that they throw on top of it as well. And that's also a way for them to get more precise on who they want to extend credit to and on what terms as well. So you'll see, you know, if you go, let's say, apply for a product at Chase versus Bank of America, you might see slightly different rates and a slightly different offer. And that's because in addition to the information that they're pulling from the credit bureaus, they're also kind of putting in their own smart algorithm behind it as well that says, okay, do we want to extend credit? Yes or no? If yes, how much and on what terms?
Okay. Super helpful clarification. So you're at Visa. Let's jump back into your story. And you get rejected. So then what happens? What do you do at this point? Like, I'm sure I could imagine I would probably feel very like embarrassed myself. Like, I know I would be like, wait, what? Like, how did this happen? Like, I don't understand. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, as I mentioned, one of the first emotions was embarrassment, right? And I think as women, we actually tend to look inwards a lot. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe I did something wrong and it must be me. And then I think I just kind of slapped myself to my senses and said, I literally built this product. I know how this product works. And clearly something is wrong with the system and not me. And I think there is kind of this snaps moment to myself where, you know, I said, this cannot be true. I mean, I believe it is the system, but I need to understand what is going on in the system. What about the system has led to this? And so I did a few things. So the first thing was I looked at Visa data and I saw a very disturbing stat. And I saw that 70% of women are putting their spend on non-credit building tools, on debit cards, and on credit cards that are in other people's names, like your partner or a parent, and that's not building our credit. And so what that's leading to is women disproportionately having negative credit experiences. So we're more likely to be rejected from a credit application. We are getting lower credit lines. We're getting higher interest rates. And then the way that credit scoring is happening in the US today is actually reflecting some of the systemic bias that is out there in the system and is making women's risk look worse than it actually is. So I'll talk about that. That's kind of a more nuanced conversation. But I saw this. I saw, okay, women aren't building credit as effectively. Women are being biased against in the system. This is affecting 70% of women. And then the final stat that kind of made me understand that maybe there is a larger societal issue that needed to be solved was I learned that until 1974, women could be rejected for a credit card or credit without a male cosigner. And so
I was like, I think in the mortgage industry too, women couldn't buy houses unless they had a male cosigner.
Yeah. And by the way, with business loans, there's been inequities, legal inequities until 1988, which is not very much before my lifetime. It's definitely squarely within, you know, my mom's lifetime. And so, I mean, it's just, it caused me to realize that this industry was never really designed to center and include women. And everything I'm saying becomes more jarring as it relates to minority women and women of color and immigrant women. By the way, I fall into all of those categories. And so, and so many women do. And so, yeah, I mean, I just have this moment, everything, you know, when you're in a movie
and it's amazing.
Kind of like everything's getting thrown at you. And I'm just sitting there with my eyes wide open for the first time. That's kind of what it felt like at Visa. So I just felt like, you know, there was a change that needed to be made. I felt like I was in a position of privilege where I had this experience, but also had the tools to do something about it. And I felt like helping women get credit was something that I could and wanted to and would be honored to dedicate my life to. So that's when I left the company to ultimately found Sequin.
Can you talk? I want to go more down the credit path, but can you talk a little bit about Sequin? Because I'm just blown away at your, we call chutzpah. You just never give up and you keep going. And you took that, like you said, that privilege. And it shouldn't even be privilege because you earned it and you worked hard to get to where you're at. It's not like you, it was just bestowed upon you that you were at this credit card company. Like you worked your tail off to get there and you see all this data and not many people would do anything about it or just feel so overwhelmed and helpless. They wouldn't take action. So kudos to you for like doing it and having such a huge impact. I'm just so excited. There's people like you. So like my daughter can look up to so that when she gets older and if she sees something. So, I mean, those data points are scary and it's shameful that we're still in the society where that's, even though I know you were saying 1974, though 1988, those aren't so far. And I'm sure the repercussions from then are still permeating today, which I know we're going to talk more about, but I'd love to talk a little bit now of what is a credit score and how do you get it? And then go into all the ways that women are just disadvantaged with that. Because I know that a credit score is so important when you're thinking about debt and getting debt and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the way that I think about credit, first of all, the thing I've always said is, especially in this country, credit is very related to opportunity.
Yeah.
And so a lack of credit is very directly related to a lack of opportunity. And if you are in a segment of the population that isn't getting equitable access to credit, you're not getting
equity. That's how you build wealth. I am a huge proponent of house hacking, whether you're married, single, whatever, but if you have kids, not have kids. But for if a woman wants to go out and buy a house, they need to be able to get a loan. And especially if you're a minority woman, forget about it. It's even stacked, even like you said, more against you.
Yeah, absolutely. So cred is equal to opportunity. And also after you graduate, when we give talks to young women, the thing I always say is the only grade that matters after you graduate is your credit score. No one's going to ask you your GPA. No one cares what grade you got. You know, your credit score is that thing that's going to stay with you and have really real impacts towards your life goals, because most of the goals that we have as women, which is everything, right? We're doing everything. You typically do have a financial goal tied to that as well, whether owning a home, running for office, getting a degree, all of those things require credit most of the time, because having that amount of upfront capital is not common. So you are reliant on credit. And even if you have it, you know, when my personal story, right, when I went to apply for a card, I had a high income. It just, I couldn't get access to credit. So you need that for really all of your life goals, starting from even an apartment. Some employers will check your credit as well. So credit is just, it's so omnipresent, and good credit can save you a lot of money, and bad credit can cost you a ton of money. And it's very, very challenging once you get on the wrong foot, even completely accidentally, which is what, you know, we see most of the time. It's really hard to undo that, and rebuilding credit takes a lot of time and a lot of intentionality. So that's why credit matters. It's just, it's related to everything. So I guess that's my high level on credit.
And so what does Sequin do now to help fix all this?
Absolutely. I actually love this question, because I'll talk about Sequin and then we can talk about specifically some of the biases in the credit system.
Perfect.
That addresses that.
Perfect.
Okay. So Sequin is a first of its kind debit card that builds credit with rewards where women spend and community-based education.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
It is solving the problem that I had. And the problem is that I was putting most of my spend on debit. I lacked credit history. And so it's challenging for me to get a product and be building credit. And even once I got onto those products, I was still making avoidable credit mistakes, right? I'd miss a payment here and there, you know, just because I was busy and not because I couldn't pay it. And so I've always thought debit cards were a great tool, because you don't need a credit check to get them. It kind of limits the gotchas of credit. Debit cards are just a lot safer. You can manage them. With one fatal flaw, they don't build credit. So my co-founder, I'll shout out to him, Mark. He spent a decade at PayPal. Obviously, I had my Visa experience. We came together and said, could we actually hack the system with our knowledge and say, let's build a debit product that actually builds credit? And it kind of gives the best of both worlds. Spoiler alert, we did. So that is our product. In addition to the fact that it's just even building your credit, the way that we report to credit bureaus is addressing a huge piece of systemic bias that's in credit reporting today. And in order to explain this, I have to go a bit into how credit reporting works.
Yeah.
The second biggest factor in your credit is a factor called credit utilization. And it makes up 30 to 35% of your credit score. And essentially what it is the percentage of your overall credit line that you're using. So let's say you have a $1,000 credit line, you've used $100 as of today, your credit utilization is 10%, right? What is happening is, because women aren't building credit, we're lacking credit history, and the gender wage gap is a screwed up reality, we as women are getting lower credit lines on average. And actually, there was a huge kind of topic around this a few years ago with the Apple Card, where a lot of women were coming out and saying, I got a 20th of my husband's credit line. And that actually happened to Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs' co-founder at Apple. He said, that happened to me and my wife too, when we went to apply for an Apple Card. And essentially, this all comes down to, one, lacking credit history and being that not the primary user, but two, this credit utilization factor. So what's happening is that even if women are using the exact same amount of credit as a man is using, because our credit lines are
lower. We have a higher percentage, so we're seeing more at risk.
Exactly. Yeah. So our risk is artificially inflated. And so what we do at Sequin is we actually don't even report credit utilization. So you can use your entire credit line without worrying about that impact, you know, as long as you're paying that back every single week, that, you know, is kind of a way to address some of the biases that are in the system. So that's some of the nuts and bolts of how we're reporting differently, in addition to having this cool product that works like the debit card that we all love, but actually builds our credit.
So you said, though, just when you're getting your credit score, the one is the history factor, the other is the utilization. What other factors go in as well to it?
Yeah. So the other factors, there is length of credit, how long you've been credit visible. So again, you know, the piece that we love about the fact that this is a debit card is you can get it early. You know, you turn 18, you get this product, go to college, and this is your product. You don't have to be under your parents. You know, no more using my dad's credit.
And you don't have to worry about overspending and going into debt. Like, so does the card work if you spend more than is in your account? Are you allowed to, or does something go off that won't let you?
Yeah. So the way that we're starting off with Sequin is we're actually keeping it really simple. We're doing a $100 credit line a week, and we actually do the repayment every week. So every week you're making a Sequin payment versus once a month. Okay. And that actually came from some deep customer research where we realized that the monthly statement is actually kind of hard to manage and makes you not think about your finances for a whole month. And for me, you know, sometimes multiple months if it's just on auto pay, and we do have auto pay on Sequin, but it is a lot more manageable to keep a weekly budget and say, this is what I'm spending on Sequin. I'm going to repay it at the end of the week. And that really avoids kind of the debt situation. You can manage. And even with Sequin, you can't revolve, as we call it, which is, you know, go into debt for the next month and then get hit with a bunch of fees. We don't do any of that. You have a flat $100 credit line every week. And then over time, we can increase that line as needed.
That's amazing. So I know I interrupted you, but what are the other factors now going back into the credit that goes into credit?
Okay, so length. So we talked about repayment history. We talked about credit utilization. We talked about length of credit. There's also hard inquiries. So essentially that's if you actually get your credit pulled for the purpose of someone extending you credit, that's going to be a hard credit check or a hard pull. Too many of those signals to other potential issuers that maybe you're seeking a bunch of credit, and to them, it's like you might be in distress and that might make you a bigger risk. So that's how the industry just looks at it.
But that's a small thing, right? Because I know like for people with mortgages, it's not a big deal if you shop around for interest rates and stuff like that.
Yeah. And actually with mortgages, it is slightly different in the way that they look at it, in that you actually want to go look for mortgages in a consolidated period of time. Because if you look for those quotes together, then it shows up as one inquiry versus if it's a very spread out process, then that might show up as maybe you're seeking multiple mortgages on different properties, right? And then that shows up differently.
Well, what would that time window look at? Like you're talking 30 days, 60 days?
I should know this number. I think, you know, if you keep it within a month, you're definitely safe. If you try to consolidate within a month, I think is the best practice on that. So yeah, so there's hard inquiries, which you just want to limit. I do want to call out, because this comes out a lot at Sequin, we give you access to your credit score anytime you want. And checking that credit score doesn't impact your credit, because it's just an FYI for you. It's not a hard pull, right? We've already extended you the credit. So there's no additional hard pull.
Okay, I never understood why credit card, like you would want people to know what their credit score is. Why would you ding them for taking action and trying to get better and do better? That never made any sense to me.
Yeah. So you actually don't. If you're looking at your credit score through a Sequin or through a Credit Karma, whatever else people use, that doesn't affect your credit. It's only if you're actually submitting a credit application, then that'll go up as a hard pull. So we call the, just FYI, what's my credit score, a soft pull. And then if we are actually going to seek credit, we call that a hard pull.
So how did you do all this? How did you hack the system? It's amazing.
I mean, you know, I think one of my biggest blessings was my position at Visa, the fact that I had really incredible mentors and I worked directly with the executive team on the products that we were building. And one of my roles, you know, at the time I found this very tedious and something I didn't really like, but it was writing and managing the Visa nationwide rules and regulations. So any Visa card that went out on the market would actually have to go through my rules and then would have to go through my approvals in order to get to market.
Wow.
And so what's been very interesting is because I wrote the rules, I also know how to break them.
So you know what? Maybe it was a blessing that you did get rejected because we would not be here talking right now.
You wouldn't be here today for sure. Yeah. I do believe, you know, there are no accidents in this world. Yeah. So yeah, those are the pieces on kind of the credit nerd out on the product. But yeah, we can talk about whenever you want, Jen, but our rewards as well and our community-focused education is something I want to double-click on at some point.
Yeah, no, for sure. Just to quickly recap though, so the way Sequin works differently than other credit cards is that you're able to essentially use a debit as a debit card, as a credit card. You're only giving $100. Now, what if someone wants more than $100 actually a week? Can they up it or how does that work?
So we are currently building out that functionality, but the intention is you would be able to pay for kind of like a la carte, you'd be able to pay for more credit line if that's something that you wanted.
Okay. So for who would this card be good for essentially? Like if someone's already a ton of debt, does it make sense for them to get this card? Because it's only $100. I mean, that's a lot for some people, but $100 when you're thinking like of groceries, I mean, now, especially with inflation, $100 is going to get you like nothing, unfortunately. Who should be applying for this card?
So it's $100 a week. So
that's okay, $400 a month. Yeah.
$400 a month. And you know, who this card is perfect for is a young professional who's just gotten her first paycheck and is trying to build credit. And so this is really a foolproof way of building credit. And in the future, our plan with Sequin is to have our own, you know, true credit products. But we wanted to start off with credit building and make that really seamless and really foolproof. So that's kind of one, you know, if you are a new professional and you're looking to get on your feet and start building credit, this is a really, really great way to do that. And I can finally put my hand on my heart and say, I think this is the best way to build credit on the market. The second group of people this is good for is actually if you have credit, but you're not necessarily the primary user of credit, right? So a lot of the stats that we see are especially women in relationships, right? Moms, I guess, for this awesome group. You know, many times we find ourselves being authorized users on our partner's card. And so to just have credit in your own name gives you a lot of optionality just to start building up your own credit profile. God forbid something happens, right? And, you know, you no longer have access to that other person's credit profile, you always want to be protected. So that's kind of a second group. And then a third group is, you know, one of the factors we didn't talk about in your credit is actually your types and number of credit. And so you actually want to have a diversity of types of credit. And so having additional credit products where you use them responsibly actually builds your credit as well. So for example, I use my Sequin card, even though now I know a little bit further along, I learned how to build credit, I got the products I wanted, but I still use a Sequin card because that's additional line of credit that it's really easy for me to put some subscriptions on. I set it and forget it. And then I personally really like the rewards and I really like kind of the community and the education as well. So it's just an additional source of credit building to boost your overall credit profile. So those are the three groups, but I guess that encompasses most.
Pretty much everyone. Yeah.
Women. Yeah.
And can we talk before we jump into the community and everything else? Because I'm so excited to talk about that. But just to clarify and give a little bit more nuance to the whole how credit works, what are considered excellent credit, good credit, bad credit? And how easy is it to maneuver between the different types or different categories of, you know, good and bad, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the cutoffs vary. And I think a dirty little secret, I guess, of the industry is what you see as a consumer is very different from what the card issuers and what credit issuers are taking into account. So you might see, oh, my credit score looks excellent on, you know, a Credit Karma or something. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, the core factors are weighted differently. And so you might say, oh, my credit looks excellent. However, if your credit utilization, for example, is too high at any time of the month, that could be counted against you as well. So there are bands that are out there. You know, they say 700 plus, that's kind of like good to excellent. Below that, you kind of start getting into okay territory. And, you know, 500 and below, you are either, you know, rebuilding credit or have had a really negative credit event. So those are the high level bands. But even if you see excellent, there's still room for improvement. Is, you know, there's a lot more that happens in the background than what you see just on your Credit Karmas, or even, you know, who we use at Sequent. Your consumer facing score is different from the score that is actually used.
Yeah, that actually, I almost forgot about this. It happened to me. I was applying for the Capital One Venture and I got rejected. And I was like, I felt like, what? I got rejected from a credit card? Like, I have like a 750 credit score, like close to 800. We pay all our bills on time. We've never had, or we may have had like a late payment once, like nothing. And I know we have like mortgages, but we always pay our mortgages on time because we're investors. And then I applied under my husband's name and he got rejected. I was like, wait a minute, I don't understand. He has an even higher score than I do. I don't understand. And so I actually would love to ask you from just a personal standpoint. I think it was the utilization. I didn't even understand what that fully meant, but I think I remember that is what they told me. And one, how would I fix that? And then two, how long do I have to wait before I can reapply?
Yeah. So the best practice on credit utilization. Okay. Here's a credit utilization 101. So if your utilization is above 35%, that is a red flag. That's really going to tank your credit score. For excellent credit, you want to keep your credit utilization below 10% every single day of the month. And not just at the end of the month. So this is the nuance, right? Many women come to me and say, well, I'm paying my card off in full at the end of the month. What's going on with my utilization? And the challenge is that the card issuers report your credit utilization at random times of the month, and they don't tell you when they report. And so even if you're paying it, even if you're paying your credit off and in full and on time, your utilization still might look too high because it's been reported somewhere in the middle of the month and you just had no idea and you just got, you know, a new TV and you put that on credit and now your utilization is really high. And so short of like me, I just pay my credit card off whenever I think I'm, you know, close to 10%. I'm pretty obsessive about that personally, just to have my credit really good.
That's terrible. Like, who thinks of that? Like, who has time? What mom has time to like watch their bank account for credit? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, short of that, if you're paying your card off once a week, I like to do Fridays. It's just kind of like a wrap up of the week. I do other self-care things on Friday and I just pay off my credit cards as well. Unless, again, you've bought some huge purchase, you might want to just, if you do buy that big purchase, you might want to just pay your card off immediately. But otherwise, if you're just kind of spending as normal, you can pay your card off every Friday. You can also call your bank and ask for a credit line increase. That is a hard inquiry and you could get rejected and that could look bad. So think of that as another, it's almost like you're seeking a new line of credit. So to answer your second question, I recommend leaving 4 to 6 months between any credit activity, whether that's asking for a credit line increase, whether that's applying for a new product. I say just give it some breathing room and that's not going to affect your credit. But applying multiple times after a rejection, which is kind of like our natural inquiry.
Which is what I actually did without knowing I shouldn't.
really tank your credit score. So you want to leave, you know, if you want to be really safe, I say 6 months, but if you're really itching for something, you know, 4 months. And I know that these card issuers have really enticing sign-up bonuses and we want to apply and get those, but there is kind of this short-term versus long-term, like, yes, you might get, you know, a few $100 in perks right now, but the impact that that has to your credit score is going to cost you thousands, tens, could be hundreds over your lifetime. So I would just weigh that as someone who's built credit cards for my entire career. That's something that I would be very, very mindful of. The card issuers are smart, so they're trying to entice you, but I hope that we're all smarter after this conversation.
Yeah, no, this is amazing. I had no idea. And so like, it still shows that I have an excellent credit score. So would I still need to wait? Because the utilization then might come up again, even if...
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I would be pretty judicious about your utilization and making sure that you're paying your card off, you know, at least once a week, but definitely after a big, big purchase.
Okay. Wow. So tell me about education and your points and all the perks of this, of Sequin, because I'm very excited to hear about this.
Okay. So one of the other insights that I had as I was building many credit cards at Visa was the reward schemes center where men are spending most of the time versus where women are spending most of the time. And I love airline lounge acts. I love priority pass as much as
I never thought of that.
But the way that this industry was made, again, was never really made to center women. And now we're in this kind of new era that I love, that women are actually controlling most of the discretionary spend in this country. And by the end of this decade, we're actually slated to control 75% of discretionary spend in very different categories, by the way, right? So if you think about your traditional credit cards, they give you rewards on travel, rewards on dining. And again, I do those things. But the other things that I and women are doing are, you know, paying for household goods. We are spending on retail, we're spending on beauty, charity, pets, subscriptions, and all of these categories
are not they're frowned upon actually when in the point world. I never even realized this. You're like blowing my mind so much right now, because I think of all the travel hacking and things you do. And even you're right. And, you know, so I'm going to just say another point. I just realized with all of these airline, the concierge systems and all that access to the private areas, they are not women friendly or friendly for moms who have kids running around and want access to a lounge. You can't really nurse. You can't really do diaper changes in these things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that was one of the pieces that I just said, you know, women's money is green too. Why am I not getting rewarded on all of the spending that I'm doing?
Yeah.
So that was one of the pieces as I started thinking about building Sequin was rewards where women are spending. And I'm really excited about, you know, the way that we're talking about this, where it's basically rewards that pay back some of the pink tax and rewards that, you know, reward women where we spend and help us meet our aspirations, which again is everything, right? Women are doing everything. So some of the rewards, so we have cash back rewards on every dollar you spend, which most, if not, I mean, I only know, yeah, most debit cards are not giving you anything. The second piece is we give you a cash credit on pink tax categories. And so, you know, for the listeners who aren't familiar with the pink tax, essentially, it's this absurd cost of womanhood where women are paying more for everyday products and services 42% of the time. And the emblem of this has become the razor, because in drugstores, the razors will be pink, and for women, even though it's the exact same product, and because it's pink, it's you know, marked up. And so those are some of the categories that you can get credit in with Sequin. If you go to the pharmacy and you buy whatever product,
you buy a black blade instead of a pink blade.
Yes, and we'll still give you the credit on that. And so like more, you'll be pocketing even more because you're not paying the pink tax on that. So yeah, so that's the second piece I'm really just excited about. You know, many cards do statement credit, but they're again on like global entry. It's not on where I'm spending every single day. We're just trying to pay back some of the pink tax out there and some of the hidden costs to being a woman. And then the third piece that we have that we're super excited about are perks and discounts with women-founded brands that are challenging the patriarchy.
And I love it.
We have discounts. If you use a Sequin card, you get a discount. But also we do workshops with the founders themselves. And so... Wow. What's really cool is we have everything from mental health services to, we actually have a workshop this week around reducing your carbon footprint. And it's all of these incredible women founders. And we're just talking about, you know, our top tips. How do you actually live in a more aspirational way, in a more mindful and values aligned way as well? So Sequin is kind of your pass to all of this too. And then the last piece is all of our, you know, credit education. We do credit power hours, which are workshops and that are actually expert led. A lot of them are actually content that I wrote from my experience at Visa and kind of illuminate. It's like this. It's really fun. It's just like a group of women who love to talk money and finances. And we just talk to different topics, everything from, you know, how do you think about credit as you're in a couple? How do you think about credit as you go to get a house or a car, which is some of the questions that you are asking? How do you think about rewards to how does this industry work? Like, who's making these decisions? What's the role of the credit bureau? Like all of these questions that we're talking about today, we address because fundamentally this credit knowledge gap that exists, we're just trying to close. And the other piece that we heard from our community was we love the Sequin card. We love this debit card that builds credit, but we also want to know more. Like, how does this all work? And how does the system work? How is it built for me? And what do I need to know as a woman? So the education is something that we take really, really seriously that, we're really excited about our product.
That's amazing. Are you planning on building other cards as well that are more women-centric? Because I would love to get some credit cards and points for travel that like actually fit our family and things that we spend on. Like, I can't tell you how much diapers and all of those, like, you know,
so it's expensive. Yeah. We're actually working on sourcing some benefits. I actually have meetings with two amazing founders coming up, but on diapers and on just some like mom products, because that it is so expensive. Co-founder, actually, his wife just had a baby 2 days ago. So we talk about this a lot. He's like, I know we're so excited to have a little Sequin baby.
you have to give him like a t-shirt or something.
I actually got her a Sequin onesie. Oh, and I'm so excited to see her wear it. Yeah. But it's so expensive, right? I talked to Mark and you know, he's talking to his wife and we're just saying, you know, this is so expensive. So yeah, we are going to have kind of mom-focused products and benefits on our platform. Of course, that's a huge part of if that is a decision you make as a woman, it becomes a very, very expensive endeavor. So yeah, we have perks and partners on that as well.
That's amazing. So you mentioned cashback. Do you do for travel and other things as well for points?
Yeah, so you get cashback on every dollar spent. I helped create a lot of the point schemes that are on the market. And even I, as a person who created them, have trouble calculating how much I travel. It's like a complex math. And again, it's not that I'm not capable and it's not that women aren't capable of doing it. It's just every woman I've talked to has been like, I just have other things to do. Yeah. Like, I'm just busy. Yeah. And like, this is not how I really feel like spending my time. And so as we created our rewards portal, one of our guiding principles from our community was, let's just keep this really straightforward. Like straight cash back on every dollar you spend, you know exactly how much statement credit you're getting on what category. And then the perks and discounts are really straightforward as well. So we just wanted to make earning the points, or not points, but earning the cash back rewards and experiences, earning that really seamless. And then in the industry called burning or whatever, using them, redeeming them, also making that really just seamless on our product as well without any of like, shouldn't take a whole travel community to understand like how to get value out of the products that you're using.
Right? Well, what percent is the cash back? Because I know some cards have 1%, 2%, 1.5%.
Yeah. So on our baseline product, on our first product is 1%. So 1% on every dollar you spend. And then our statement credit is $50. So that gets credited on any of the pink tax categories, as I mentioned, even subscriptions, but pharmacies, healthcare, beauty services. Mm-hmm. I know I'm, you know, that's probably where mine's going to go. But yeah, so there's a lot of great categories that gets automatically credited in. And then, we have the perks and discounts and the workshops.
Amazing.
That's all integrated.
Amazing. So I would love to hear the fees on Sequin's card versus the fees on other cards. Because I know you've mentioned a lot of hidden fees. I'd love to learn more about what those hidden fees are and how you guys, I mean, I'm assuming you guys don't have, your fees are very clear cut, but I would love to hear the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the tenets of this, you know, going back to my mom, was I just didn't want gotchas. You know, so many of the credit mistakes that we see are disproportionately made by women, again, not because we're irresponsible, but because we were never taught. And so I just wanted to reduce those avoidable credit mistakes and the gotchas. And so, you know, most card products, you know, when I was building them at Visa, most of them make money through interest, which we all know. You know, there's also a merchant fee that, you know, merchant pays every time you swipe your card. They're called interchange fees. So at Sequin, we just want to make it really, really transparent. We have an annual fee if you choose. It's $99, and that actually gets paid back in cash rewards in the first year. So the 1% cash back and the $50 statement credit pays your annual fee back. So literally you're just paying it, but it is all earned back in cold, hard cash that you can use on your Sequin card.
So sorry, then, just to clarify separately, so you get 1% back, you get a $50 statement, and then you get the $90 back after the year?
No, the $99 that you pay up front ends up being subsidized in full by the fact that you're getting cash back rewards that are, you know, greater than that amount.
Okay.
So that's one. And then the second option is if for whatever reason you don't want to do an annual payment, then we do monthly.
Okay.
So that's a slightly more expensive option. And we're thinking of doing that as $14.99 a month. So it's just slightly higher than the annual. We're trying to push people to the annual fee because it's just one time. It's transparent. You don't have to think about it again.
Yeah.
And it gets paid back in full with the cash back rewards.
So if someone wants to get this card, how would they even go about it?
So we are at sequincard.com, www.sequin, sequincard.com. We have women on our product, our first few beta testers. They're slightly more than a few beta testers. And that's who we've co-created this new experience with. And so the previous version of the product didn't have the rewards all fleshed out. And so we're back on a wait list and we are going to be relaunching our new product with rewards and the education and the statement credit on the pink tax categories. All of that is going to be coming out, you know, soon. We'll keep you posted. I mean, hopefully very, very soon. So yeah, if you sign up on sequincard.com, we'll keep you posted and we'll shoot you a note when it's ready for you, which is hopefully, again, gosh, I don't want to jinx anything, but very, very soon.
Okay, awesome. Well, I will put links to it in the show notes. No, Avrinda, this has been amazing. I like to enter the lightning round, which is where I ask my guests the same four questions each week. But before we jump in, is there anything else that we should talk about or cover with regards to credit or tips or advice to women out there? Actually, one thing I would like to talk about for someone who is in credit, who has really bad credit or in debt, if there's anything that they can do, obviously besides get the Sequin card, but to help kind of get them back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's not really secrets to building good credit. You know, I always say the key tenets are be building credit in your own name. So no more being an authorized user and saying that's building my credit. It's not building your credit as effectively. So have credit in your own name. The second piece is pay your dues off, you know, on time and in full. And the third piece, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because many people do not know this, that when you pay the balance, that does not mean you're paying it off in full.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you reminded me of something when I was doing research, again, as my mind was being blown at Visa. One of the pieces of research that I did was when credit cards were first invented, they worked with behavioral psychologists to figure out how they could, I don't know a good way to say this, but how they could make people pay the minimum and then get hit with fees and with interest. Because if you look at the way that your statement works, it's okay, minimum payment due, then full. And it's really easy to say, oh, I'll just pay the minimum. And you don't realize that the amount that you're not paying is earning compound interest.
Against
you. Yes, not earning. You're paying compound interest. And that is interest on top of interest on top of interest. And again, you know, so many women I talk to just say, well, I thought that was, you know, an option. Why not? And it's just a slippery slope. Anyone who's had an experience with debt, it's kind of how it starts, right? Where it's, oh, you know, it's fine for a few months. And then at a certain point, it becomes, you know, really challenging. And especially in this country and disproportionately with women, we're experiencing these amounts of debt, and finances are the number one cause of stressors in relationships. And even just personally, you know, women are feeling a lot more anxiety around finances, probably because we're controlling the household spend, right?
So, yeah. And you're not talking about cheap compound interest. Some of these, they're 20%. So 20% every month. So you're paying the minimum. And then, so let's say you have a $1,000 bill, you're paying the minimum of 100. You're now on that $900 getting 20%. And then you continue, then it's, I can't do math right now, but 900 plus 20% on that. And then 20% every month.
918. And it's wild.
Thank you for math.
I don't actually think that's right now. I think about it. So 10% of 900 is 90.
Yeah.
So 20% is 180.
So yeah.
So it's actually 1,080 at 20. And so then, that's like next and then next. And next. Yeah.
It's, and you're multiplying exponentially, compounding on top and high percentages.
And I mean, on average, these rates are 25, 26%. And what I say to our Sequin community is borrowing money on credit is some of the most expensive capital you will ever borrow.
Yeah.
And I'm also cognizant of it's a privilege to have the capital to be able to pay off your credit card in full every month. I do want women to feel equipped knowing that this is very expensive. And if you are making the decision, then, you know, I really believe that, you know, every woman should choose how she wants to live her life, but just know it's really expensive. And if there are other ways to get cheaper capital, maybe you can, you know, as long as it doesn't mean weird strings attached, but maybe you could, you know, borrow from a friend if you really need or something else. But the credit card piece is really like, it's just, they really got you on those, on the interest fees.
And you're actually reminding me of like, there is good debt. Like if you're going to buy a property as an investment, like that could be good debt of borrowing money. But you, like you said, credit is privilege and you need good credit to then be able to get this good credit, like, you know, towards the houses and to actually invest and do all the fun things that helps wealth building and not keeps you down and continues to just, you know, in debt and the hopelessness and that feeling of loss of control that I know so many people feel. And I felt it when I was, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're not alone. I think the debt conversation is something we don't really have. And as at Sequin, you know, we try to make a really safe space of, we're not talking about these things, right? But like many of us have had experiences with debt and it is really scary and it is really, you know, isolating. And so, but yeah, some of the pieces I do want to say, Jen, the questions I get, one is, okay, well, if I'm in credit card debt, should I be investing? How should I be thinking about that?
Yeah.
And the way I answer that question is on average, if you're investing, your market return is about 7%. Credit card interest is 26, right?
Yeah. So pay off your debt.
Pay off your credit card debt first. And then start, like, you know, if you have a 401k, you should contribute to your, do that. Yeah. But anything additional, like if you're, you know, on Robinhood or whatever you're doing, that should pay off your credit card debt first.
Yeah.
That is like a really, I think, important one. And then the second one, you know, in just like being in a lot of debt and then being like, oh, how should I balance getting more? Should I get another card to be building credit on the side as I'm paying off this debt? I have never seen that situation go well. It is good in theory, but I've never seen it go well. Again, you know, I guess theoretically I'm biased because I am the creator of the Sequin.
No, card, you're the expert.
I am also a credit expert and I also really believe in empowering women with that, with, you know, the knowledge around all of this. And that if you are struggling with debt, pay off that debt, get a Sequin card. You aren't going to be able to get into, you know, more than $100, right? And that's probably peanuts compared to whatever, and that's still building your credit. So, and even in that situation, if you are in really bad debt, maybe you don't need another thing. Maybe the Sequin card, like maybe you don't even do that, you know, just like pay attention to just focus. I know it's hard. It takes a lot of discipline, but just pay off that debt slowly and consistently. And like everything else, you know, if you make it a habit, then, you know, the consistency will pay off.
And what about, I've had people ask me about transferring to low balance cards and things like that.
Yeah. Balance transfer cards, again, are fine, right? You'll get a lower interest rate, but at that point you already have the debt. The balance transfer card is, yeah, it might alleviate it a little bit. But what I say is just try to keep your life really simple. If you have debt, just have a really simple goal of paying that debt down. And if there is kind of a balance transfer product that will lower your APR, that also might just be for future purchases too. So just like, that's not necessarily helping the pay down of the debt. Make sure you read the terms and conditions really carefully. They're like jargon and legalese, but just understand how the products work. And we talk about balance transfer products as well, like at Sequin and our Power Hours. We go deep on those too. So yeah, if you ever have any questions, even if you know you're not a Sequin cardholder, we're you know open to answering.
You just reminded me of something that I wanted to ask you. When you were at Visa building these cards, like what was your task? Like what was your goal with these cards?
To get people to put their spend on it. So that's the card development process is really interesting, where you are trying to find a population and you're trying to build a product for a population that is spending a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's where these travel cards come in, where flight tickets and travel is very expensive, right? And so you put that on the cards. And one of the primary ways that these credit card companies make money is through interchange, which is basically those merchant swipe fees, right? Every mm-hmm. time you swipe your card,
it's an extra 2%, 3%.
Exactly. 2 to 3, depending on the product. And the more premium the product, which is usually related to how much people are going to spend on it, the more expensive it is for a merchant to accept that product. And so essentially, as we were building the products, we want people to put as much spend as they can, hence the like travel reward card of the world. Right.
It's so funny because it's common sense to some extent, but I never thought about it. Because even the merchant fees, like we're still paying it in the end. They're just upping their prices on us, even though it may not seem yeah. like we are, because they just don't tell us. Because sometimes when I know I pay for like my daughter's daycare, I could do a debit from our account or I could do a credit card, mm-hmm. but it's like a 3% extra fee. Yeah. Normally I would put the 3%, I would put it on the card because then I know I can get points. But when they tell me that they're going to take 3%, I'm like, I don't want to put it on my credit card. Like, it's so much money going. But then just think of everything else I spend that has this merchant fee where I don't have the option. I'm still paying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's actually, you know, we did a credit power hour on this, on how interchange works, how this whole industry works. And one of the things that's really neat about our Sequin card is our merchant fees are much lower because debit cards are lower than any credit card out there. And it's actually like a nice little support of small businesses, because what ends up happening is when you're using a really premium credit card at a small business, then so much of their margin is going to paying these fees. So the fees on Sequin are a bit lower, you know, the same way that as if you were to spend on a debit card, you're just kind of supporting small businesses, but you're not building your credit. So with Sequin, you're still, you know, doing that and also building your credit.
And again, little things you never would think about.
Don't think about it. Yeah. No. I mean, payments are, you know, one of my favorite parts about being in this industry is that there's so much. It's just the tip of the iceberg that we see. Even though we interact, finances are central to everything, right? And every dollar we spend aligns to our values. And it's this thing that's so personal and societal and you know, impacts so many different things. I don't really think about it. And I think that, you know, it's kind of neat to be able to be that person that's opening up the kimono a little bit, so to say.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I know I said this before, but as we've been talking even more, it's just amazing the work you've done.
Oh,
Jen. Yeah, no, really. And I think so many people need to hear this. Shout it from the rooftops. We need to change the system. And the only way you can make a change is if you make a change, and you've just blew it out of the water.
I mean, we're trying. It is definitely challenging, but you know, the one tenet that we always go back to is we love the users who we're building for, and we love our Sequin community. And, you know, really this whole project which is now a venture-backed company, started off with just, you know, me looking at my mom and wanting her to feel empowered and, you know, feeling those same emotions and just thinking in the future, if I'm fortunate to have a daughter, I don't want her to deal with this anymore, right? I want it to stop with me. And I want your daughter to feel that same way as well, just empowered and confident and feels like she understands a system that is going to help her achieve her life goals and change the world. So that's what keeps me going on some really, really hard days.
I'm sure you have so much you're dealing with. And not for nothing, you're starting a business that's huge and scaling and all that. It takes time and energy and focus, and it's not the easiest. So, and you're still persevering.
Thanks, Jen. Right back at you. The work that you're doing is, you know, just telling all of our stories as well as the other part of it. If no one knows what you're doing, then, you know, that's the other side of the equation.
So I'm
telling women's stories.
Incredible. No, thank you for coming on, because so many people need to hear this. So Brenda, now, okay, any other last things? I know we went on so many tangents, but they were all so important. And again, things that no one talks about.
I know.
That we need to talk about.
Honestly, Jen, I feel like we talked. I mean, if there's more questions you want to, I'm an open book, but I think I said what I needed to say. And we talked about, you know, the sequin card. We talked about the rewards. We talked about the pricing. We talked about how it corrects for inequities in the system. So I think we hit all those points.
Yeah, I feel my cup is full. I'll just say that.
So nice, Jen.
So Brenda, thank you so much for coming on to Asia episode. It was amazing. But before we go, I do want to get to the lightning round, because I do ask my guests the same four questions every week. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
I don't know if you sent this to me. I was supposed to prepare.
Anything.
Okay. So this is a fun fact. My first job ever was as a dance instructor. And I actually did a fusion aerobics. So it would be different styles of dance from around the world, and I would meld them together. And that was my first. That was my first job as a dance teacher.
That's amazing. That sounds like a fun job.
It was really fun.
How old were you when you did it?
I was still in high school. And then I did it in summers when I was back from college, you know, not necessarily for the income, just to get some exercise.
No, it's like a win-win. You get a workout and you get paid. Who wouldn't want that? Yeah. Awesome. Well, question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
I know I talked a lot about my mom. I always just go back to her. I think, you know, I think all moms are superhumans. The fact that, you know, as a mom, you're so scrappy, you're so resourceful, and, you know, you're just trying to make everything work the best that you can. I think it's so amazing. So I'm really inspired by my mom every single day. And honestly, I'm inspired by every single mom I meet. I just think you're all superhumans. Not to pander to the audience, but I say this even when I'm not on Mom Focus.
Well, hopefully, God willing, one day, if you choose to become a mom, I hope you can. And it's easy. And I know you will be a great one too. Oh,
that would be an honor.
I have a question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read that you loved and would recommend?
Okay. So two, I love Invisible Women. It is a book about how we live in a world that was created by and for men, and unearths some not so fun facts around, you know, how medical studies are done on men and what the impact of that is on women, i.e. we die more frequently. You know, seatbelts, same thing. And, you know, just, I think it really validated my thesis around credit. You know, it's not that it's women who should be forced to fit into the system that just never was designed for us. I think, you know, there's a huge opportunity to do something else and something better. So that is one. And then a second one I really loved is Grit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, the thesis of that book is basically the most important piece is that you just keep going. And that is the greatest predictor of success, is not anything else, but, you know, just your willingness to keep going. And I think, you know, again, on hard days, I go back to that. I'm like, all right, you know, I might not have these other things that I'd wanted to have, but I know I have grit. So I love that book.
Yeah. That's actually what if there's anything I could teach my kids, I think that's the one thing that really gets you successful in life. Because you can't fail until you give up.
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing ends until you say it's done.
Oh, the last question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their financial independence journey?
Absolutely. So my number one is build credit in your own name. I will say that for you as a mom. And I think the second piece also is just talking to your kids about credit, and even them hearing it coming from you as a mom is a subliminal message that, you know, I saw my mom being really confident and empowered in her finances. And I know, Jen, that was kind of your story, is your mom taught you so much about, you know, credit and finances. So, you know, even just teaching your kids the importance of credit, building it in your own name and using credit responsibly, you know, is part of kind of the overall systemic change that we're looking to make.
Amazing. Rinda, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a blast chatting with you and your story and the tips. Like, oh my goodness, thank you. How can my listeners connect with you further?
So if you are signed up on sequincard.com, I actually check every email that is replied there.
Because it's just, yeah, that's what business owners do.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, have a very, very scrappy, lean team, but I like to read all of those. So those come to me. You can also follow us on social. It's at sequin_card is our Instagram, and our Twitter is sequin_HQ. Again, you know, if you contact us any of those places, it will come to me. And I just try to be super responsive. I love meeting our community members, and I love talking credit with other women. So yeah, please do reach out. I can't promise it'll be immediate, but I do promise I'll get back at some point.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much again for coming on today.
Thank you, Jen, for having me. It was a blast.
All righty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned. Again, as I said earlier when we first got on, that I was humbled in today's episode, just really hearing how women are disadvantaged. And I really hope you take this episode and empower yourself. And if you don't have great credit, to figure out to get good credit, take the baby steps. I'm going to put links to everything we talked about in the show notes. So I hope you enjoy. And if you did like today's episode and my other content, please subscribe on the platform you are listening to, unless the providers know you are finding value with my content. And also, please leave a rating or review. It's super helpful. It really is. And if you do, just shoot me a screenshot, and I'd love to send you a free Investor Mama calculator. And we just got in 2 new reviews in, so thank you so much. The first one is from Stephanie. Stephanie wrote, such powerful messages. Thank you for your free spirit and connection to the human experience. You're setting an example for moms struggling to make the world a better place. Balance in life is essential. Stephanie, thank you so much for that amazing review. Let me know who you are. I'd love to send you a free calculator. And also, we got a new review from Maria. She wrote, informative topics. I've been loving Investor Mama podcast because you're able to find informative episodes from a different range of topics, from different perspectives and walks of life. Maria and Stephanie, thank you so much. It really means a lot to me to reach out. Please DM me. I'd love to learn more about your stories and find out a way to connect. So please reach out to me. You can go to investormama.com/connect. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, anywhere on social media. Like I said, I really would love to hear from you. So this is Investor Mama. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.